Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Tanisha. And if you're a fan of Wine School Dropout, there's another podcast we think you'll love, Pretend. Pretend is a documentary-style podcast about real people pretending to be someone else. Javier interviews real con artists, snake oil salesmen, and former cult members, anyone living a lie. Notable interviews and episodes include an identity thief who confesses to stealing thousands of identities, a former FBI undercover agent who describes how he embedded himself into a drug lord's inner circle, and the testimony of a snake oil salesman who encourages people to drink a bleach-type substance to cure everything from depression to cancer. Search for Pretend wherever you get your podcasts. This is Wine School Dropout, Study Abroad, Southern Italy. I'm Tanisha Townsend, your host. This season, we're going abroad to Italy, Southern Italy to be precise. Think of this season as a semester abroad in Puglia, Italy. We will introduce you to the grapes, producers, foods, sights, and sounds of this region. We're taking you right there with us to introduce you to some wines and wineries and present this region. Welcome to Season 3 of Wine School Dropout, Semester Abroad, Puglia, Italy. Have you ever been sitting around with your friends, talking and laughing, maybe a little drinking, and you come up with this crazy idea? Whatever the idea was, one of you in the group thought it was nuts, but you were like, no, we could do it. What would happen if you actually did it? Three friends in Southern Italy had the idea to make sparkling wines in Italy similar to those from Champagne. They didn't just talk about it though, they did it. Fast forward to now, and we're talking with the daughter of the original three men, and she tells us of her role in the business and what it's like to make sparkling wine in Italy. Please tell me who you are and what do you do?
Okay, so I'm Anna D'Amico. I'm the daughter of one of the founder of Darapri. Darapri, that is a company that made sparkling wine with classic method in San Severo in the south of Italy, in Puglia. I'm the company since the 2018, so almost 5 years. My job regards the commercial and also the wine tourist. So I do the visit in the company, but also all the events that we made in the cellar. And during the week, because all of these events we do in the weekend, I'm the girl behind the screen doing all the commercial contract and so over. In our company, we know how to do almost everything because sometimes we need to do downstairs to do the degorgement or the remouage because someone maybe is in the other cell during the vinification. This was the period where half of the work in our company was in the other cellar during vinification. So me with the other son of the owner, we do also the practical things. Yes.
This was an idea from your father and some friends of his, correct?
Yes, was a joke that they were playing the founder are three, and they were playing jazz music together. So one day they decide for a joke, why we don't do the sparkling wine with classic method like champagne. And so they start to do for a joke, but now is actually a company that make 100,000 bottles per year. And the name of the company came from the surnames of the owner, so D'Amico, Rapini, Priore. So merging the three names, we obtained Da Rapri. And now, because they want to continue this company, they started to give everything to the next generation. And so in the company now we are six, because there is also a son or daughter like me in each one for each owner. So we are six actually, because we like to continue the idea of the name Da Rapri.
You've passed it down to the next generation. Yeah, your father exactly. Did to you. Yes. And yes. So now you and the sons and daughters of the other men, you are now taking over. And so it was a whole thing. It started because just some guys sitting around listening to music, and it was a joke, like, hey, why don't we do sparkling?
Exactly. And they started to do like a joke, but with an idea, the idea of the territory. So do the sparkling wine in the south of Italy that was unusual in 1979, because almost the company making sparkling wine was in the north, and also now are in the north of Italy, and they use Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, almost of the big region in the north of Italy. Now they decide to do, first of all, to demonstrate that a sparkling wine that is maybe in the, we can say that in the enologist, in the world of the wine, is the more technically product that you can do, because you are doing a second fermentation. And so it's not just picking the grape and do a first fermentation and that's all. No, you have to continue with a second fermentation, stock the bottles for at least 2 years. So you are doing the wine now, but you have to imagine how will be after 2 years. After 3 years, they decide also to do link our product to territory, so to our territory. So we use autochthone grapes like Bombino Bianco, Nero di Troia, and Montepulciano and Pinot Noir that are not autochthone but always cultivated in the area of San Severo. And the other link is to have the cava, the cellar, in the city center of San Severo, downstairs the city. So we use the cellar from the 17th century to stock our bottle. And because they were looking at the champagne that in the world of a classic method was the first era, and they were actually the creator of the second fermentation, the controlling of the second fermentation. And the link of the mayor of the Champagne is to link the product to the territory. So it was the same idea with our area of Puglia, where we have a lot of sun, a lot of warm and hot during the summer. But this doesn't mean that you can have fine wine and so fine sparkling wine with our grapes.
There are already a few styles of sparkling wine in Italy, like a Prosecco, a Lambrusco. How is your wines from Daraprix different, and how are they classified? Like, is there a specific name for them or classification?
Okay, so the difference between Prosecco, that is the major, maybe the more known sparkling wine outside of Italy, it uses a different method, because in our method, you have the second fermentation inside each bottle. So you bottling and then you add to the wine also sugar and yeast to have the second fermentation, and you close the bottle. In the Prosecco style, Prosecco method, that the name is Charmat method of Martinotti, you have the second fermentation in a tank, a big tank that maintains the pressure. So this is the first difference, because on one side you have a small container and the other side you have a big tank. So, but the big difference is that after the second fermentation, that ends both after 15 days, more or less, in the Charmat method, Prosecco method, you just bottling and sell it. In the classic method, like Champagne method, you have aging on the yeast that remain in the bottle after the second fermentation. And this aging, it dures at least 2 years. So you, for that reason, I say that you do the wine now, but you have to measure it after years. And so this is the really big difference. How are in Italy, our product is just called a sparkling method, a sparkling wine with classic method, because we are not in a region where there is a DOCG for the classic method. This is different for the Franciacorta, Trento DOC, Asti, where they have this area. There they have a disciplinar, so they have a DOCG where when you do a sparkling wine with classic method, you can say that we are doing a Trento DOC, because there is this disciplinar. Because actually we were the first doing the sparkling wine in the south of Italy, and since the 2010, more or less, there were no one doing sparkling wine like us. There is not a disciplinary. So we use the classical name, use it for define this for the law. Now there are other producers of sparkling wine with classic method in San Severo, and we are trying to do a disciplinary to our area, so we can maybe use a shorter name.
I love that you know the questions I'm going to ask before I ask them. And so you already answered, because my next question was going to be, do you want to be DOC or DOCG?
The DOC and DOCG is important, not for the name, but what you represent is the territory, and is also a way to protect you and to help little producer near you. Our idea is that, okay, our product is good, we are doing, we are growing up, but if it is better if also other producer growing up like us, because we want to work together. And in the past, we were a little producer and we asking help maybe in other area. We think that it's better that now we made some errors, and it's better to have to correct in time, and you know, is like a good concurrence.
We think you're saying two people working together, so collaborator. So you're collaborating, putting it together. Is that what?
Yeah, we collaborate. We give you know, some advice when they need. It's also a way that you came in San Severo, and you can taste a sparkling wine of Daraprix on of another company, and so over. So you can do also a little tour, a wine tour, not just for one cellar, for more cellar.
Is this a very long and I guess intensive process to apply or prepare yourself in the region for DOC qualification?
No, it's a long process because you, first of all, you need to ask to have a producer, and we do this. And then you have to write a disciplinary, then submit to the, when I say simply the law, and it's not so easy, but not impossible. With time, we can do. We understood with the sparkling wine where you need to wait a lot of time before to taste a bottle, that waiting the necessary time sometimes is better than do the things faster.
Some of the grapes that you use for your sparkling wines, you mentioned Montepulciano, Nero di Troia, Pinot Nero, and Bambino Bianco.
Yeah.
I had never heard of Bambino Bianco before visiting Puglia. Can you tell me a little bit about Bambino Bianco, some of its characteristics, and why it is a popular or main grape in Puglia?
Okay, so Bambino Bianco is autochthonic grape of the north of Puglia. Outside of Puglia is called also Paga Debit, that translating it means paid debit. So the name gives you the idea that is a grape big, and it gives a lot of quantity. And so when you're picking it, you can have money if you sell it. For that reason, was called like this. In the past, but also now, it is used because it gives a lot of... So first of all, in our region, we have a really good growing because it doesn't need too much water. So what means that maybe with this summer that was really, really hot, on other variety, we needed to give water. For the Bambino, less, because he know the territory and he know that there is a few water. So it's really easy, the growing, and also is more protected for the hills, respect to other grapes. Then you have this grape that the shape of the grape remember like a child, for this is the meaning of the name Bambino, that for us meaning child in Italian. And the wine that we obtain from the Bambino Bianco, it has a big structure, so you have a lot of acidity, is really sapid, and it's not our power. You can taste some banana or nuts, but this more after aging. For a still wine, it's perfect because you have a wine with strong with acidity, so give you the freshness, but it's not overpowering. So it's not you know, when something is overpowering, maybe you can taste the first glass, the second glass. But during all the meal, maybe you can be tired of that wine. For the sparkling wine, it's perfect because the acidity is fundamental to have a sparkling wine. Because if at the end, you have a wine that have to live at least 2 years. So if you don't have acidity, after this 2 years, you have something tired and... something tired means that you have not a good tasting, also a good drinking during the meal. So that the acidity gives the strongness and the long life for the wine. And to don't have overpowering in the perfum means that after 2 years, you don't have too much flavor strongest, but this strongest flavor you have after a lot of time but we are doing with some more third flavors like yeast flavor and vanilla, like flavor more complex but also spicy and not tired. And at the base you have always the freshness given from the city. So for that reason, in our territory, is really used, because also for the still wine you have the freshness, and during the summer have a fresh wine, not also in the temperature but also during the taste, is really important.
And that's the white one. Then you have, you mentioned three other grapes. So
yeah,
most of your sparkling wines, a blend of all of them? You just used a couple. Do you have a...
Well, with the Bombino, Montepulciano and Pinot Noir, we have different blends. So we have a blend between Bombino Bianco and Pinot Noir, with the white vinification Pinot Noir. And the idea here is that Bombino Bianco is the strongness, the Pinot Noir give you the flavor. And we use in all our blend the more percentage of autochthonous grapes. For example, for the Brut and the Padoset, that the blend is Pinot Noir and Bombino, we have 65-70% of Bombino and the rest part to Pinot Noir. Then we have also a blend of Montepulciano and Pinot Noir with the rosé vinification, and the percentage is always more of Montepulciano. Another time here, the Montepulciano give you the strong and Pinot Noir the flavor. And we have also a blend of all of three grapes, so Bombino, Pinot Noir and Montepulciano. Here, all three together give a cuvée that have at least 5 years on the yeast. And so we have here an overpowering of perfume of third flavors, pastisserie and gold apple, so maturing fruit. So all three together. And well, actually we saw that with this three mixing, the Pinot Noir like go down over the perfume of Bombino and Montepulciano, and it helps also in the strongness. For the Nero di Troia, we have just 100% using it, so without blend of other grapes. And we use it to have the Sansevieria, that is a Nero di Troia rosé. So a rosé a vintage rosé. And we use the Nero di Troia because it is really strong and it gives a really good complex. And so you can have a vintage rosé. And then to our first product was the RN. The name in the past was a Riserva Nobile. It was 100% of Bombino Bianco. It was the first because it was the maximum territory in a sparkling wine using the Bombino Bianco. And we still have it. And we have, here we have, it's different because the first vinification is not in tank, in inox. Inox tank, but is in a barrel to give nobility to the Bombino Bianco.
It's not a secret that France loves cheese and wine, so not surprising that an entire culture revolves around the consumption of these two great gifts to the culinary world. Come and discover one of the best parts of French culture with the cheese and wine class or a wine tasting class. Join my classes. They are a great opportunity to experience the French terroir. During these two-hour classes, you'll sample some of the finest cheeses and finest wines, learn the techniques and language of cheese tasting and wine tasting, and also the concept of terroir. You'll spend a great evening in a relaxed atmosphere with beautiful surroundings in the heart of Montmartre with me at Cooking with Class Cooking School. and get a great head start to fully understand and appreciate our love for French cheese and wine and help you approach them with greater confidence. Visit cookingwithclass.com, COOKNWITHCLASS, and search Paris Classes for more information or to book your date.
You have a long line of sparkling wines that you have, and then a lot of different kind of ways that you blend up the grapes that you use. So this was fascinating, just sitting here and listening to you.
Because we saw that, well, we do just sparkling wine. And when someone come to visit us, you have to give always a sparkling wine that can pick the different mouth. So you need to give happiness to everyone that decide to come to our cellar. For that reason, we have different line of sparkling wine. Actually, we have 8 different labels. So the Brut, the Pas de Serre, the Rosé, then RN, Grand Cuvée, Sanseveria, Dama Forestiera, that is a product with Montepulciano and Pinot Noir with white vinification, vintage, and produced only in Magnum. Because in the Magnum, we have the more equilibrium between for the volume, so you have a better aging. And so we decided to do this blend, particular brand, just in Magnum. And then we have the big formats like Jeroboam, Salman Azar, and Matusalem to, you know, for the big events.
So you have a sparkling wine for everything, for the aperitivo, for the seafood,
yeah,
for the meat,
yeah,
for dinner, for dessert, for a party, for,
well,
for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Because the first clients of our company are us. And okay, when we sit to eat, we like to drink sparkling wine during all the meal.
I think it's fantastic. Now, changing gears a little bit, you're a second generation at the winery. You said you started here in, I think, 2018, so not that long ago. What were you doing before that?
Well, formally, we started in 2018, but when they begin, and our of us, also my brothers, when you were 5 or 6 years, you start to help in the cellar, just maybe in the afternoon. So actually we were in the company since we were born. Our parents, they teach us everything, but they didn't, force us to continue to work in the company. They just give to us, there is this company where we like this world and we teach everything, but if you like something different, you can continue. So for example, me, I'm a graduate in computer engineering, so are really different skills. And I were working like an engineer for 1 year, but then I decided to come back and to enter in the company because, I like to learn and maybe to learn the world of the wine. But this doesn't mean that have this different skill doesn't help you. We have more skill that maybe is different with someone that was studying enologist, because we see something different, and also you didn't just do the wine, that's all. There are all the other aspects in the company really different, and maybe my skills in computing help me and help the company in this way without asking outside to a consultant. And this is the same also for the other two guys in the company. To, for example, Daniele is an architect and Antonio is an agronomist. Maybe he's the one more linked to the wine, but you know, he has also a skill for all the growing of the other plants. So this is mean that maybe you can act something that you use for other plants to the grape. So there is the idea. And is also history that repeats, because also the three owner actually they aren't enologists, or they didn't have specifically strict to the world of wine. Girolamo D'Amico is a chemistry. Luis was a teaching of music, and Rico were helping but on the machinery in another cellar. And so the join of different skills create therapy. And also for us, the join of different skills continue to improve the company.
I love that, how everyone kind of had something different that they were doing. And then said, you know, this is for the family. We'll come back and get together and, you know, take over from our parents and pass it down. Yeah. Thank you so much for this interview today. The last thing I do want to ask you is, do you have any final thoughts or anything that you want people to know about Derapri or your sparkling wines that you haven't already said?
Just if you are near in Puglia, in the north of Puglia, we are on the street, because to go down also to go to the sea, you need to pass to San Severo. So come to visit us, because we like to hospit tourists or people that have our obsession, because I think that the passion of wine is an obsession. And so knowing someone that you can talk with your obsession is really, well, it is fun.
How cool is it to be handed down a winery from your father, to be a part of the history and legacy of your family and carrying the torch for the next generation? I hope you all enjoyed this episode, learned a bit more about the wines from Southern Italy, because they aren't just reds. And as Anna said, if you are ever
planning for your next trip,
elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever in the region, please stop by and visit Cantine D'Amico in San Severo, Italy. Thank you for listening to this Study Abroad episode of Wine School Dropout. This episode was produced by Studio Ochenta and hosted by me, Tanisha Townsend. Our executive producer is Lori Martinez. Our sound editor is Luis Raul Lopez Levi. Our theme was done by Gabrielle Dalmaso. Music is by Makai Beats. Our art is by Tiffany DeLoon. Follow us at Wine School Dropout on Instagram. If you like the show, you should tell a friend about it and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, sit back, relax, and have a glass. Hi, it's Tanisha again. I want to tell you about a podcast called The History of Literature. It's a show that covers everything from the life and works of literary giants like Dickens and Tolstoy to a series on the forgotten women of literature, to lighthearted topics like Friend, Marry, Kill, Shakespeare Edition,
and the top 10 books you don't need to read. Each week, host Jack Wilson and his guests explore the most unusual, compelling, and inspiring stories from the world of literature. Always eager and never pretentious, Jack tackles every book as if it could change his life. And more often than not, it does just that. The History of Literature is brought to you by The Podglomerate. New episodes run every Monday and Thursday, and you can listen today by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this show.